waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. So I've been asking the question, where are all of the Tea Party types? Where are the Oath Keepers? Where are the minions? Where are the Trump faithful? Where are all those people who, when Obama bailed out or sort of bailed out the auto industry, were screaming at the top of their lungs? Where are they now when we look at what's going on with ZTE and the bailout that, you know, look, I can, that's the only word I can use. We're bailing them out because they got themselves into a whole lot of trouble. And this administration is the one who said we're going to enforce that. And I guess now not so much. Here to talk about what's going on with China, with trade, with NAFTA, with tariffs, all of that, our resident expert, Scott Paul. He's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Always. Anything for you, sir.
Lots of stuff to get cleared up. First, let's talk about the ZTE bailout. I'm looking at this going, this is important national security kind of stuff. If we don't enforce what we say, what's the point in saying it?
Yeah, and this coming from a president who talked about American jobs, America first, just railed on China always, you know, said, you know, if you look up his phrase, like China is laughing at us, you know, you'll get about 1,000 hits because he says that all the time. And then, you know, on Twitter, makes this pronouncement that ZTE, which is a, just so everybody knows, is a Chinese telecommunications company. It has a lot of relationships with the Chinese government in Beijing. It has been barred from doing business in the United States because there are serious national security concerns. For instance, the military won't and didn't allow ZTE telecommunications products to be sold to the military because of the risk of spyware having been inserted, so that essentially the government of China could be spying on the U.S. military. And this is a company that not once but twice has broken our sanctions law and has been found to have been selling products into Iran and into North Korea in violation of sanctions. So, you know, it's the unified consensus of our national security community. And by, I think, by judging by the congressional response, an overwhelming number of Democrats and Republicans, that ZTE shouldn't be doing business in the United States. Yet here you have a president who says, you know, there's lots of lost jobs in China, not America, China. And that, you know, maybe there's a way to help out ZTE. It is it's an alarming tweet. I think it's very dangerous, and I'm very concerned about it. And my hope is that this is just kind of bluster and he'll, you know, that'll move on to something else without doing anything for ZTE. But it's something that, unfortunately, we have to take seriously.
Yeah, and he's going to get it done fast. We're going to just cool it. We're going to get it done fast. And I go, you know, okay, but here's the thing. There are national security implications, and I think those are extremely important and things we should be talking about on not just telecommunications, but virtually everything our military needs. But, you know, I've been hammered with the well, you know, Rick, we're going to lose a lot of American jobs because of it, because, you know, they buy a lot of our stuff. And, you know, that argument, I don't know that holds a lot of water with me.
Yeah. So, look, it is true that there are some U.S. products that went into a ZTE phone. Qualcomm, for instance, sold some chips to ZTE, but that's not their only market. That's not to say there won't be a transition, but, you know, saving some American jobs and putting ZTE back into business in the United States, again, I just point back to our military leaders who say this would be very dangerous. It would be a threat to our national security. And it's a threat that we should take seriously. And so everybody from Chuck Schumer to Marco Rubio has been expressing grave concerns about the president's response here. And in part, Rick, it's because it's so out of the blue. I mean, where did this come from? It just flies in the face of everything that we were led to believe about the president and his policies. And so it raises, obviously, a lot of really, really serious questions about the motivation here as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete about face. And you go, where did it come from? But for me, the bigger picture, and, you know, I had someone who, tweeted at me saying, well, Rick, you're not getting the big picture. And I'm going, no, I get the big picture. And the big picture is China wants to dominate the world with technology. Their China Made 2025 plan is all about taking over technology and taking over the innovation of a number of industries. And, you know, to me, this has got to be part of that big picture talk where, yeah, maybe we're going to have some problems short term. But the big picture is they want to do what they've done to a lot of our industries, you know, aluminum, steel, other ones being part of that. And that's completely dominate them and not play fair in the international market.
Yeah, the stakes here with respect to ZTE are really significant. I don't pretend like I'm an expert on broadband or telecommunications, but 5G is going to be the next next frontier in broadband, you know, higher speeds, better resolution, all of that, more capabilities. And ZTE is one of the companies leading the charge on that and to do 5G in such a way that the Chinese government is more or less writing the rules of what this new cellular system should look like. I am not a a xenophobe, but I will say I do think that while we should always seek common ground with our brothers and sisters in China, and I harbor no fears about Chinese culture, most types of Chinese ideas that are coming from the people. I don't like the authoritarian government, obviously. I that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be wary about some of these security concerns, whether we're progressives, conservatives, you know, moderates, anything, because, you know, this is both about writing the rules of the future. And America should have a part in that, as well as making sure that we're literally not giving the Chinese government tools to spy on our military without even trying. I mean, you know, they do, right? And, you know, they want to, because that's a game that big powers all play, but you don't want to give them the keys to the car and say, here, you're going to be able to find out everything about what's happening on our military bases with our citizen population. To me, that's just I'm enough of an economic nationalist, a progressive one, but to say you got to draw the line somewhere. And ZTE is on the other side of that line.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is where, you know, I had read something the other day that said, you know, since 2004, the United States has not lost a trade case in front of the WTO. We haven't lost any of the trade cases with China, and yet we still continue to lose. I mean, we win the cases, but the industries are still gone. The harm is done. The jobs are lost. The economic prosperity for this country gone. But they keep losing. We keep winning, but we end up with the short end of the winning stick, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way you put it, because it's an interesting statistic, and it is, you know, it's quite misleading. Because it is true to say that when we've been bringing cases against WTO, we've been winning them. But then the question you have to ask is like, well, what have the results been? And when you look at the results, China will pop up a trade barrier or a tax incentive or a subsidy somewhere else, even though they may have just torn the one down that the WTO said they had to tear down. And it's like playing a game of whack-a-mole. And you can't do that all the time. It can be incredibly frustrating to do that. And so we keep having the same expectation that if we take a WTO case and we win it, China will change its behavior and we'll see a measurable difference in our trade relationship. That hadn't happened. And so anybody who expects the same thing is you know, is probably smoking something, because, you know, there's nothing that indicates to me that China is going to change its behavior pattern in response to Donald Trump, unless there is a different approach. And that doesn't mean necessarily giving up on the WTO altogether. We have serious flaws with it, but we shouldn't count on the WTO to be looking out for the interests of American workers. We have to do a lot of that ourselves. Right. And it involves the Congress, it involves the president, it involves a very sophisticated approach. But going the WTO route alone just doesn't make sense, because you can't demonstrate anywhere, that even though we've won some of these cases, that we've seen a measurable difference in the imbalances that we've seen with China, in the unfair trade practices that they have erected. And as you indicated, Rick, it's especially concerning as we look ahead, because it's not only steel and aluminum, it's also semiconductors, artificial intelligence, robotics, advanced batteries, autonomous vehicles, aerospace platforms, biotechnology, a lot of the industries that we look at being 21st century industries as well. And that's, you know, we can't afford to just literally give those industries away.
No, I'm right there with you. And you just named all of the industries their China Made 2025 plan is going to go after. And, you know, for me, when I look at this, you know, they have a vision of where they want their entire economy to go. So they're, you know, they're giving, you know, cheap loans and deregulating, and they're, you know, doing all kind of mercantilist kind of things, to where we're kind of okay, you know, whatever. There doesn't seem to be a major plan. And they're really eating our lunch. I mean, and this is where I think people are, where Trump, you know, the blind squirrel found a nut in this. He's right. China cheats. I'm still waiting for them to label them as currency manipulators. There's a lot we should and can be doing. And this thing with ZTE is just completely the wrong way, in my view, and sends the wrong messages, because you're going to say, we're going to get tough. And then, well, we're not.
Right. Well, we're going to get tough, and then the first negotiating tactic right out of the box is to make an enormous concession to China without getting anything whatsoever in return. And it's a concession that would have far-reaching national security implications in a negative way for the United States. That's not the art of any sort of deal. It's not the art of war. In a lot of ways, it's the art of stupidity. And it's not a great way to negotiate. So I think that we have to up our game. I know Bob Lighthizer, the trade ambassador, Wilbur Ross. I mean, these are very smart guys who do international negotiations all the time. I think that, you know, if you gave them an outline of marching orders, let them do their jobs, that they could do it quite well. But, you know, when you have the president tweeting out stuff like ZTE, you know, that does more than gets in the way. It probably makes China question the kind of resolve that we have to really push back.
Yeah, a good point. Let me ask you real quick, you know, the tariffs on steel and aluminum. You know, people are losing their mind over this. And again, to me, it's one of those vital industries that we have to protect on a certain level, because, you know, just from a national security standpoint, we absolutely need it. But as a country, you need a productive process. Where are we? Are they going to go into effect? Are we going to give like this? Are we going to give massive waivers? Is it going to be toothless? What are you expecting at this point, given what we see?
Yeah, Rick, I'm still hopeful. So we've seen some of the tariffs have taken effect on the countries that aren't exempt from them, but they're, and those are 25% tariffs on steel, 10% on aluminum. We've made an alternate arrangement with a few countries. South Korea is one that's agreed to a quota on steel that actually will reduce the volume of imports coming in from South Korea. There's some indication that we have deals in the works with Australia, Argentina, Brazil. Where we haven't quite made a deal yet is with Mexico and Canada. That is wrapped up in the NAFTA negotiations with the European Union. And those are both large kind of steel importing markets into the United States. But I will say that despite a lot of really noticeable missteps by the president, the way this was rolled out was terrible. The fact that he talked tough for months and then did nothing, had an impact on the industry. Despite all of that, I think it's fair to say we've seen some progress in steel and aluminum. And if anything, it's shown that, yeah, we can kind of claw some of these steel jobs back. And you've seen a blast furnace reopen in Granite City, Illinois. You've seen a Republic Engineering opening a line of steel products in Lorain, Ohio. You've seen a British company invest in a shuttered steel mill in Georgetown, South Carolina. You've seen a steel pipe maker down in Houston, Texas, that's going to be both melting its own steel and then transforming it into pipe down in Houston. And on the flip side, while there's a lot of complaints about from steel consumers about prices and what have you, the data, at least so far, is showing, yes, there have been some increased prices, but from an employment perspective, from an output perspective, these industries are doing quite well. And they've been doing quite well for a couple of months, and the tariffs have not had a material impact on that. And moving forward, there's some question as to you know, how big or small that impact is going to be. So I'm hopeful about this. But it's the president can't back off, and that would be a disaster to the steel industry. He's got to stay tough on this, and can't afford any backsliding, because all of those steel jobs that have been established, you know, they'd be a risk if you see imports surge into the market again.
Yeah, someone take his Twitter account away quickly. I did want to get into real quick, since you brought up Mexico. Any updates on the negotiations? I know we're coming to the end of the possibility of anything happening because of the elections in Mexico and all that. Any words where we're what we might see, if anything?
Yeah, so I think they may be getting close to a deal on renegotiation. I will say the administration and labor leaders will tell you this. They've reached out more to labor than the Obama administration did on a trade perspective, and have solicited the advice of labor union leaders and workers on this. What's going to happen? I'm not sure. I mean, Paul Ryan set this artificial deadline, which made me chuckle, Rick, because when's the last time Paul Ryan met a deadline on on funding, and then, oh, we have to have enough time to examine this. I mean, how many bills have they passed that are hundreds of pages long, and where they've kept them secret and then passed them within 48 hours? I mean, you're probably right now just thinking in your head all the times that they've done this, which has been dozens upon dozens of times. You know, if this deadline slides by a couple weeks or even a month, I'm not worried. I think that they can still do it in this Congress. But at the end of the day, I'm going to look at it just like everybody in the labor movement. Is it better for American workers? Does it make sure that Mexican workers aren't exploited and that we're pitting our workers against each other? Because that would be bad. And are there mechanisms in place to reduce the trade deficit we have, in particular with Mexico on automobiles? But there's a lot of other issues that we can unpack in NAFTA, but I think fundamentally, those are the things that need to change the most. And my test is going to be, how well does this agreement, not the promises, not the tweets, how well does this agreement move us forward? And do we need 100% of that? Do we need 80% of this? I don't think half a loaf is going to work, but I do think that we need to make substantial progress.
I'm with you. The only deadline I care about Paul Ryan meeting right now is his retirement deadline to see him on the road. Last question I've got for you. There was a story this week, I'm sure you've seen it, that the Chinese are investing in a theme park project in Indonesia, $500 million. There's going to be a couple of Trump hotels, some golf courses, a residence, and I'm not sure if it's his or for him. Any thoughts on, you know, does this not look right? Does this look like possible quid pro quo? What, any thoughts?
It looks terrible. I mean, you know, there is some Trump tweet on ZTE out of the blue. I mean, just completely out of the blue. That was nothing that had been on the table before. And then this news of a major Chinese investment. I mean, I am not an expert on emoluments or anything like that. I don't pretend to be. But you know, how, I don't know how that is defensible in any way. I really struggle with that. And, you know, keep in mind, this is a president who's never been afraid of being hypocritical, whether it's where he sources his own products or his own steel for his construction projects or anything like that. And so is it surprising? No, it's probably not surprising, right, given who we're dealing with. But it's deeply upsetting. And to even bring up the possibility that this could be impacting serious trade negotiations that impact millions of workers in America in some way is really troubling.
Yeah, what I like to remind people, we impeached a president on a land deal that the president lost money on.
Yeah, right.
Kind of want to throw that out there. Scott, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Always great to be with you.
Thanks for sharing your expertise. And look, we're in interesting times with this president. And I got to tell you, the about face does not give me a whole lot of warm, fuzzy feeling that he's going to move us forward on the trade issue. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. This is why we fight, why we lie awake. This is why we fight. Finally, radio for the rest of us. Rick Smith.